In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes you don't know what you are looking for until you find it. I don't know who said that first, but it's true. Everybody is looking for something, and often we don't know exactly what it is. We might call it peace of mind, or serenity, or by some other name. But defining it and describing it isn't easily done. It's as if we are all born with something missing inside us, a spiritual hole in our souls just aching to be filled. Sometimes we try various means to satiate our longings, such as food or money or power, just to name a few of the popular ones. But nothing seems to satisfy us for long. Our amorphous quest goes on. The Ethiopian eunuch, an official in the court of Queen Candace, was a man on such a quest. He was looking for something, and his search had led him to Jerusalem and Judaism. It was not uncommon for people who were not born Jewish to be attracted to the religion of Judaism and its way of life to find meaning, to find a satisfying life. Such people could come to worship in the temple in Jerusalem if they stayed in the court of the Gentiles. They were prohibited from worshiping with the Jews and from getting too close to the more sacred places in the temple. Through study and certain rituals, a non-Jew over time could be accepted into the fellowship of the Jewish community as a convert, which is probably what the Ethiopian eunuch wished for. The Ethiopian eunuch, though, could not do this because he had a situation in his life which would forever prevent him from becoming a Jewish convert. The problem with the Ethiopian eunuch was that he was a eunuch. I read a book that suggested always referring to the Ethiopian eunuch as the Ethiopian official to avoid having to explain what a eunuch is. The book suggests saying, if pressed, that one can say a eunuch is a man who had an operation that would prevent him from having children. There's more to it than that, of course, but that's not a bad way to address such questions, especially when they come from children. The main point is, though, that the law of the Jews, the law of Moses, prevented certain people from converting to Judaism. Now, we would not consider that politically correct in our day, and it might seem less than merciful to us, but that was the Old Testament law. That law made the portion of Isaiah's prophecy that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading as he rode along in his chariot even more poignant and appropriate to his situation. Even though only eunuchs were allowed to work closely with the queen, not many men, maybe no men at all, would choose to be a eunuch, even to be in the high position of national treasurer, as this man was. It's almost certain that the Ethiopian eunuch was forced into that operation and career path, perhaps before he was old enough to have a say in the matter. Like some of the choir boys in the Middle Ages, soprano castrati they were called. The Ethiopian eunuch may have known well the emotions and the trials that Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter of his prophecy, attributed to the suffering servant, because in his humiliation, justice was denied him. Given that in ancient times there was even greater emphasis than today on achieving immortality through having children, it could be said of the Ethiopian, and he may have well felt, who can speak of his descendants? His life is taken away from the earth. But God had a corrective plan. an angel of the Lord instructed Philip to get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, where he would meet the Ethiopian eunuch. The text says that he ran to the Ethiopian as he was riding in his chariot. That would have to mean that for some time, Philip must have been running alongside the horse-drawn chariot, keeping pace with the horse. That's both miraculous and kind of comical, and certainly not a ministry that I would be suited for. Eventually, Philip joined the Ethiopian in his chariot and explained to him what the words he was reading meant, especially Isaiah's description of the suffering servant as it applies to our Lord Jesus Christ. That short scene makes a couple of important points. First of all, the Old Testament, prophets like Isaiah and the law and the historical books of Moses, the Psalms of David and so on, all point to Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is not second-class scripture. It is indispensable to Christianity. Secondly, salvation is found in Christ alone. Judaism and Christianity are not two paths to salvation. And that's not anti-Semitism. That's the word of God. The Ethiopian church can be seen to represent all of the people who are seeking salvation, all of the people who are on the margins and fringes of the church, all of the people who are wrestling with their faith. They will find no rest, no peace, no serenity until they find it in Jesus. The hole in our hearts is a God-shaped divot filled only by Christ. Knowing Christ in that way made the Ethiopian feel serene and whole in a way that he had never experienced before. Christ had transformed his life. They came to water, and the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip to baptize him. Philip didn't delay. He didn't prescribe several months of classes. He didn't make him memorize things. Philip baptized him immediately. Now, I think that Christian education is very important. Every Christian should make learning more about Christ and his church a lifelong endeavor. But nobody knows it all. No one earns baptism with academic achievements. Anyone who honestly professes belief in the triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confesses Jesus as his or her Savior, is a candidate for baptism. Instruction in church polity and structure can come later. Priority number one is for us to go forth into all of the world, making disciples, teaching them to obey God's commandments, and baptizing them in God's holy name. The story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch shows us that the good news of Jesus Christ is for people of all nations and races, even eunuchs, even the people of North America. It may surprise us to know that the Christian church was well established in Ethiopia centuries before Christianity came to Europe and then later to North America. About 60% of Ethiopians today are Christian, with the majority of them belonging to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which is very similar to the Coptic Church in Egypt, if you're familiar with that. The Lutheran missionaries went into Ethiopia more than 100 years ago and began a church that is known today as the Mikane Jesus, which means the place of Jesus. The Ethiopian denomination has 5.6 million members today. That's more than double the number of the members in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Imagine that. And Mikane Jesus is the fastest growing church in the world. Someday, they are going to be sending missionaries to us. Like Philip, being the witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. We never know where the Lord might call us to go, or why, or who he might send us to. Yet when we trust God and love our neighbors, great things can happen. People can find peace and serenity that they've been looking for. They find that peace in Christ. That's what happened with the Ethiopian eunuch. That's what's happening in the Mekane Yesus today in Ethiopia. And that is what is happening right here, right now in your life. Amen.